Hi, and welcome back to the Passion Podcast. It's been a little while since our Cape of Good Hope edition from the lovely shores of Cape Town, South Africa. And here we are back in the Passion House. It's an incredibly beautiful September day in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm back in our high-tech studio with Jonathan. We've got all the gear set up again in the big room on the back of the Passion House. So that means that we're home in between legs on the Passion World Tour. It also means the FedEx or DHL or UPS man will show up any moment now. So we're up and recording, so I'll let you guys know when he arrives or she arrives, whichever is the case. But we are excited. We are 3 weeks away from Mexico City. That's the title of this podcast, Vamos Mexico. Let's go Mexico. We are ready to get there and get the third leg rolling. I wish I could say that it's been a nice, relaxing, rejuvenating, and replenishing break between our arrival from Cape Town and our next leg, which is going to take us to Mexico City, Vancouver, Seoul, Tokyo, Hong Kong, and Sydney. But I think most of you podcast listeners are pretty tuned into what's going on in Passion Six Steps World, and we've released a David Crowder DVD full-length and CD, the first time he's had a full-length DVD release. We've released a brand-new amazing record from Charlie Hall called The Bright Sadness, and just last Tuesday, Hello Love from our good friend Chris Tomlin. So needless to say, those just don't sort of appear on release day, but there's a lot of energy that swirls around them. And it has been quite hectic here for all of us at the Passion House, not just everybody in Six Steps World. But we got a few weeks still to catch our breath, 3 weeks before we get on a plane and head down south of the border, Jonathan, to Mexico City. You are going to miss out because of your brother's wedding, and we're pretty bummed out about that. Not your brother's wedding, but just bummed out that you're going to not be with us for that one stop. But we're excited to get there. Check this out, Mexico City, Mexico. Okay, if you've been around me at all, I get fired up when I start talking about Mexico City or Tokyo. And the same breath, they're both the largest city in the world. It just depends on who you're talking to and how formidable of an argument that they can put together to convince you that one city is bigger than the other. But somewhere around 30 million people in both of these metropolitan areas, and that doesn't even include the outer metro bands. And Mexico City is just a crazy environment, full of life, full of energy, full of potential. And this current climate, full of a lot of strife and a lot of unrest, and the streets are filled with a lot of uneasiness in Mexico in these days due to some of the situations there internally in the nation. And we're going right into the teeth of that with Passion Mexico City, but we're excited to be there. You know that Mexico City is home to UNAM, which I can never say correctly, and so forgive me for all you folks listening down in Mexico, but it's something like Universidad Nacional Autonomous Mexico, and the Autonomous University of Mexico. And there are 300,000 university students on that one campus and over 1 million university students in the city. And so to get there and be there for a Friday night and a Saturday, and especially carrying the message we're carrying, this beautiful story of God's grace and just how amazing and how unique it is it's just going to be a real big deal to be able to unload that in Mexico City. And my own prayer is that it just explodes in the hearts of people. It just blows away anything and everything that was all about a system or a way I had to do the right thing to get into the arms of God. And it just elevates the cross and this huge open door of a God who's saying, look, you could never figure out how to make it back to me, but I'm eager to span the distance to make it all the way to you where you are in your world. And so Mexico City is coming fast. We have closed registration. Okay, this is nuts. 18,000 plus people have already gotten a ticket for Mexico City, so we had to stop registration almost a month out. And I hear that the Mexican students are super latecomers. And so they've been telling us the whole time, don't worry about registration. Don't worry about the numbers. It's all going to happen in the last few days. No one is going to do anything early. Nobody's going to really do anything ahead of time. And so this response is not only, you know, blowing our minds, it's really blowing our partners in Mexico. It's blowing their minds as well. And it's a huge opportunity for us to see God do something to change the nation and to change the future of that whole culture. So we're excited. Sydney, the last stop, by the way, of our six stops, also registration's closed. Over 10,000 people have claimed a ticket for Passion Sydney, which is going to be a great, phenomenal ending there at the Sydney Entertainment Center right down in Sydney Harbor, right down in the city. And Vancouver, who would have thought, you know, come on Canucks is all I can say. And I don't even really know what a Canuck is, except that's what the hockey team used to be called in the old days before there wasn't one anymore and they moved off somewhere else. But we are going to Vancouver, which is, by the way, it might not be in the top stratosphere with Cape Town and Sydney, but it is one of the beautiful cities of the world and probably the most beautiful city in North America of large-scale cities. It is absolutely stunning and gorgeous, and the people are so amazing up there. But we were excited to go, but we had no clue the response. And as of today, there are like 9,000 people who have registered for or gotten a ticket for Passion Vancouver. So it's probably going to close registration-wise here in the next couple of days, maybe sometime soon after you hear this podcast. So that's just phenomenal. Three out of our last six cities just going crazy. And then we've got our little Asian corner where we don't know what's going on. So hello, Seoul, Tokyo, and Hong Kong. Tickets have just gotten going in some of those cities. It's a whole different deal. School hasn't started, this, that, and the other. But we're looking for a whole lot more traction in those cities and know great things are going to happen. But definitely, if you're in Seoul, Tokyo, or Hong Kong, and you know people that are in those cities, spread the word, tell people what's going on, and we're looking forward to getting some traction there. But at the end of the day, it is not all about all these great numbers that we talk about. It's about people. And I got an email back in August, and I really love it because I used to say all the time in telling the world tour story that it's about students, and it's about a student saying, would you ever come and do Passion in our nation? And I always used the Philippines because in the back of my mind, I had this memory somewhere back there, which when you're talking about me and my memory on some level, that's not a very good idea. But I had this thought in the back of my mind that there was somebody from the Philippines who had emailed us way back in time and after one day and said, do you ever think you could do something like this in my country? And I remember just reading that email, sitting here in Alpharetta going, how is it possible somebody around the world in the Philippines knows who we are and what we're doing and wants us to do that in their country? And so I got this on August 2nd. It says, hi, Louis. This is my second email to you since 2001. Remember how I asked you to bring Passion Movement in my nation, the Philippines? I thank you for fulfilling your promise. So apparently when I wrote back in 2001, I've been telling the story. When I wrote back in 2001, I said, hey, incredible email. We're so glad that our movement has impacted what God's doing there, but we're probably not going to be able to make it to the Philippines anytime soon. But I may have said, yes, we are going to come eventually. Just hang on. Apparently that's what I said. So he says, I thank you for fulfilling your promise. I was there just three rows in front of you. Please don't get mad if I was there, even if this conference is for college students. So apparently, I waited too long for this to happen. It just didn't happen years before. So translation, I was in college, but now I'm not in college. And in 2001, I was legit, but in 2008, I wasn't legit, but I got a ticket and came anyway. Footnote, I think a few other folks in Manila did as well. So anyway, he goes on to say that he's praying for Kuala Lumpur. He's praying for the church plant here in the U.S. and hoping that we're going to come back to Manila. And I don't know how to say the name. I'll just leave it at that. AJ are the initials from Manila, Philippines. So, you know, that's what this world tour is about. And that's when you shrink it all down. It's not about, you know, how many people were in the building or how many cities we went to. It's about connecting with people, the people that we love so much, university-age people all around the world, and just being able to breathe encouragement into their lives and say, you know what, I know a lot of people may have let you down. I know that circumstances may have come against you. I know that you may have a lot of questions about who you are and who you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing with your life, but we believe in you, and God believes in you, and your life matters. Christ will not let you down. The church may be imperfect. People that you loved and trusted may have broken that trust, but Jesus is the same. He's the same yesterday. He's the same to us right now in this moment, and he's always going to be someone that we can depend on and have confidence in, and we love you guys. So AJ, to you, I'm so glad we made it to Manila. I'm sure there's a bunch more of you in Mexico City and Hong Kong and other cities around this world, and we hope to connect with all of you guys as soon as God will give us that opportunity. So on the world tour, right, we launched our new Do Something Now campaign, Jonathan, and I'm so excited to finally officially talk about it on the podcast. We talked about it and gave hints of it. In fact, I think in one of the podcasts we did from Jakarta, I want to say, I said, okay, just for you podcast listeners, go to 1millioncan.com. So I'm coming back around today, and at the end of this is going to be a very strong encouragement, invitation. I want to engage you somehow to action. Because Do Something Now is not about a cool idea, and it's not just about a really cool website. It's about actually clicking on a button that says give on it. And it's about saying, I don't have $1,000, I don't have $1 million, but I have $10, I have some dollars, and I want to be a part of this movement, united to love the world. That's the byline on Do Something Now. It's under this new banner called 1 Million Can. And you can watch the little video on the webpage. It'll tell you the story, but it's just asking the question, what can $1 million do to change the lives of people all around the world? And we've already given over $1 million in a year and a half through Passion Events, but now it's time for us to give that second million. So when you come to the website, you'll see a two there that's waiting to have a line struck through it like the one. And there's a little update. So far, we've given $230,330 as of this moment, and it just changed the last time I refreshed, so that was good news. But it doesn't change often enough for me right now. I want to see some traction here. You're going, dude, you're trying to raise $1 million and you got $250,000 already. I'd say you're doing pretty good. Well, when you click on the update, you see that 224,000 of that 230,330 was given at our Six Passion Regional events. And we didn't really have a place to count that money that was given for the wells. And so we've jump-started our well goal, which is to raise $300,000 to build wells in Africa with the money that you gave at the regional events. And so really, you know, we've only raised $6,330 since we launched the page. And at the rate we're going, it's going to take us a couple of years to get up to the second million. So the idea is really simple. It's that you can do something right now to change somebody's life. There are seven causes on the main page. These are organizations and people that we know personally and that we believe in very much. The last one is called Broadcast Truth, and it's just the coolest idea. These guys have made solar, might have been girls, I say guys in a generic sense, not in a gender sense, but these guys have made these little solar-powered voice-recorded players, and they're just like the size of an iPhone, a little bit thicker, and they last forever as long as they can get juiced up by the sun, and they're pre-recorded with the New Testament in the language of an unreached people group or a very hard-to-reach people group who in most cases may not even have a written Bible in their language. And so you slip this recorder into the culture, and in cultures where it's an open culture, like some of these are going to Sudan, we're trying to raise enough money, $100,000, to put 2,000 of these pre-recorded recorders into play. And 1,000 of them are going to Sudan to reach unreached people there in the Arab-speaking world. And in that context, some of them could be played in a village, and a whole village will gather around. And imagine that. You listen to a chapter of Matthew today, and everybody gathers back around next week, and you listen to the second chapter of Matthew or the third, and they gather back around again. Everybody's into story, and everybody wants to hear story. And so even though they might not could read a Bible if you handed it to them in their language, they can hear the story being told in their own language, a story about grace and truth that we found in Christ. And 1,000 of these are going into the Arabic-speaking world the country I really can't say, but thousands of them going into Sudan. I think I said the Arabic-speaking world in Sudan, which that are going into Sudan, 1,000 going into the Arabic-speaking world. And it's through our partner Megavoice, and Megavoice doing phenomenal things, but we just pledged that over the course of this next, I hope, year or less, that we would be able to raise $100,000. And you're like, you know, that's a whole lot of money. But let's put it to you this way. I mean, our Passion podcast audience is up over 100 people, Jonathan, right? So to get to $100,000, each of you only needs to give $1,000. And so every listener today would just click on the little blue button, put $1,000, you know, in there on your debit card or PayPal or however you want to do it, then we're there. And we can just put a little note on the bottom of Megavoice under Broadcast Truth that says, congratulations, this cause is fully paid for. Please look at the other six causes and participate in one of those. And you're like, yeah, right. I don't have $1,000, Louie. And if I did, I'd be paying my bills and probably not doing anything else right now. And so to that, I just simply say, okay, here's the real story. We have more than 100 listeners on the Passion Podcast. I know. I don't want to lose your trust, and I don't want to break this little sense of family that we have. In fact, I was at an event in Birmingham on Monday speaking, and I must have met personally about 20 of our podcast listeners, and it was so encouraging. I was doing an event for youth pastors, and a bunch of them and their wives came up and said, hey, we listen to the podcast all the time from Arab, Alabama. You know, some amazing places in Alabama, by the way, or all these little towns, but they were from all over the United States. And so they were telling me where they're listening from. And they're like, I'm one of the 100, or maybe they were old school. I'm one of the 42, you know, and I was like, cool. And it was just so nice to meet them. But I have to break it to you today. And by the way, if you're still listening today, big announcement coming at the end of the podcast. I almost forgot that, but the big announcement, we do have a big announcement today coming. If you've been wondering about what is Passion doing and what's our next plan for our events coming up, that's coming at the end of the podcast. I almost forgot that, Jonathan. But anyway, here's the thing. In the spirit of full disclosure, there are more than 100 listeners. There are more than 200 listeners. There are more than 300 listeners. There are a lot of listeners out there. There thousands of you guys that are downloading the podcast, and we don't know how many, because we can't really figure out the little deal we got that tracks how many people listen, because we're trying, but we're kind of low-tech, high-tech. So we got a general idea, but we're not completely sure, but it's more than 10,000 people. And I know, and if that's too big, if it's corporate, if it's too slick and cool and institutional and you have to drop out at this point, I understand. You can go surf all podcasts and find some cool little generic homegrown, you know, small, undiscovered indie podcast, and you can be one of the first 9 listeners and just send us an email and say, hey, it was fun while it lasted, but I'm out of here. But if you're still with us, and there are 10,000 of us, which there are more than that, but let's just use that number. And all 10,000 of you listening to this right now said, 1millioncan.com. You just pull it up. As soon as you get back to your computer, or some of you are listening on your computer right now, you look at the 7 causes, you think about them, you ask God, do you have a role for me to play in this? If he says no, you just close the window and say, that's awesome. I'm going to pray for those guys. But the Holy Spirit says, yeah, I want you to do something about those sustainable villages for those refugees that are stuck in IDP camps in northern Uganda, those folks who were displaced because of the war. Their villages were completely destroyed, disheveled. Their families are gone. Their families are killed. They have no place to go back, to settle, to call home. And until they do, they're stuck in fenced-in, horrible condition, zero humanity IDP camps in northern Uganda. And you click on that and say, I want to do something about creating a village that they can go home to. And you gave $10, each one of you, 10,000 people listening, and you all picked the same thing. Let's say you all picked the Mega Voice thing we were talking about, or you all picked sustainable villages, then we can fund that one of the 7 causes by each of you listening right now doing something very small. See, this thing is not about everybody doing something big. It's about everybody doing something small to make a difference in the world. That's what it's all about. Check this out. This is 1 John 3. Verse 16, it says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. So if you want to get to the heart of love, it's not like some big emotion swirling around. It is the Son of God in human skin giving his life up for us. And it goes on to say, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. And if you flip back a few pages to James chapter 2, same thing. At verse 14, it says, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith, but he has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and be well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, it is not accompanied by action, it is dead. And that's the heart of worship. It's the heart of what we're about. It's the heart of our movement. And we just, if we're going to be known around the world as a worship movement, which we can't really police and control that, then we want to be known around the world for the kind of worship that is not just songs, but also action. And so come join the cause. A bunch of you are already involved, but look, you could, you know, we're rubbish at raising money. We're not good fundraisers. We try to dial down the hype all the time. But for this deal, there's not one thing about this 1millioncan.com website that benefits me or us or anyone else. This benefits children around the world, women trapped in prostitution, people who've never held a Bible in their own language, kids who need surgeries, former child soldiers in Uganda, people who are going to hear the story of God in Sudan and in the Arabic-speaking world. It's not about us. It's about us doing something for them. And so I don't mind leaning in as heavily as I can. I've already clicked on the give button, and I've already registered where I can make a difference, and I want to continue to. It's not something you do once. It's something you do a lot. It's something that the 10,000 of us listening could do. The same $10 that we did in September, we could do it in October, and again in November, and again in December, and again in January, February, March, April. And all of a sudden, the $1 million is there. The causes are fully funded. The story goes on. A three goes onto the homepage. We put new causes there. And all of us, none of us have really felt all that big of a hit, but we've been able to do something huge in the world in Jesus' name. So come and visit 1millioncan.com. We launched it in Johannesburg, South Africa. Now we're launching it via the podcast to the whole world. And as we go to this break, you're going to hear the Watoto Children's Choir from Uganda, which is what this Hope in Homes is all about. It's about building homes for these former child soldiers in Gulu in northern Uganda. And it's through our partner, Watoto, who is doing a phenomenal thing in Kampala and in northern Uganda. And if you haven't heard by now, by just one of those amazing set of circumstances that only God could pull off, the Watoto Children's Choir was in Nashville on the day Chris Tomlin was tracking the song Love on his new CD, Hello Love. And so what you're about to hear are little Ugandan voices, and they are the hope of that nation and the hope that we will be engaged with our material possessions to help change the world in Jesus' name. When life is cold, there is a promise. You will never go without. There is love, there is forgiveness. There is love in times of need. When life is cold, there is a promise. You will never go without. I love hearing those voices, but I've seen the kids from Watoto a couple of times in Uganda and in Australia, and I'm telling you, their faces absolutely light up, and you heard them on the podcast when we were in Kampala and probably saw pictures of them on our blog, but they're special kids, and wow, there is love, and you know what? We have it, and we're part of the answer, and I just want to encourage you to not only do something now, but spread the word, you know, start a Facebook group, put a banner on your website, tell your friends, get your fraternity involved, get the coworkers in your office connected, you know, just show this to some coworkers and see if they can come around that idea and jump in there to help us make it happen. And speaking of that, just really great news to report on the financial front. And again, I kind of feel weird talking about it, but God's doing such an amazing thing. I can't help really but talk about it. But when we started out on this podcast way back when, talking about the world tour, we were talking about $6.5 million or something like that, that we needed to do these 17 events around the world. And two great things have happened. One that's almost unheard of in ministry context, but we were able to cut our costs, which is pretty crazy. We got back from leg one. We figured out that we could do the six cities on leg one cheaper than we had budgeted doing them for. And we kind of over-budgeted. We'd never done a world tour before. And by the way, the FedEx man just went by, Jonathan, so that was cool. At least the truck didn't pull up right outside the window. I think he parked over in the what used to be the funeral home parking lot, which is now the Methodist Church Youth Ministry, is in the old funeral home. And I met these guys, right, at this thing that I was speaking at Monday night. And they came up and said, hey, we're the guys from next door at the funeral home / youth group. And I went, oh, wow, you know, because I'm sad, obviously, because I liked having Louis Jones Funeral Home next door. And it wasn't about, you know, people dying, but people die every day. And they had their services very often next door. And I liked that. And I missed that. It was a very real part of life on a daily basis. And they're gone now, which is okay. I don't know if they went out of business or what happened to Louis Jones Funeral Home. But the Methodists have moved in their youth building. And I'm thinking, I don't know, personally, I'm not ready to, like, you know, be doing my small group in the embalming room. But anyway, I met these guys, and they're like, hey, we're the guys from next door. And I'm like, is it just a little creepy? They're like, oh, no, man, it's cool in there. You got to come over and check it out. So I will definitely do that, make the walk across the parking lot, and check out the funeral home turned youth group. The people are out there going, that's a great metaphor, man. I'm telling you, that's exactly what it's all about. And I'm like, well, okay, I'll give you that. But it still is just a little bit creepy. But, you know, hey, what can I say? It's a very good property and a great place to be. We were talking, though, about the world tour. So we cut our costs, which was really, really cool. So our big number of $6.5 million came down. Second thing that happened is people have given amazingly. We've gotten some of the largest gifts we've ever gotten as a ministry, and we've just we just had our mouths wide open because we've just never had those kinds of gifts on that scale before. And then we've gotten a ton of little gifts that have absolutely blown us away and everything in between. And I just want to say thank you again. We only have $900,000 to go, and people laugh about that and say, I'm not sure how you can use only in the same sentence with $900,000. And I say, well, start with $6.5 million, and then that's how you can use only with $900,000. But we've got, you know, about 2 months to go until the world tour is completely wrapped up, and $900,000 to go. And I don't know, I have a whole lot of confidence that there's going to be a great story to tell at the end of it. But check this out. This came to me through our office, and it says on here, it was written in our office, that there was $100 with it. So I'm assuming that was a check, but it could have been $100 $1 bills for all I know. But it says, to whom it may concern. In my speech communications classes at Moody Bible Institute, I hope I can say that. I hope I have permission to say that, but that's who it's from. We do a persuasion exercise that involves each student picking a ministry or service organization that is special to them and persuading the class that this organization is worthy of their support. So as a speech communications major, I stumbled over reading that pretty royally, and I know that's going to make Dr. Rifkin really happy if he's still with us. He was awesome at Georgia State University, by the way. Riff, as we called him, was the head of the speech and communications department, but that wasn't very well read for a speech and communications major. But anyway, you get the point. They're going to do a persuasion exercise. Every student in the class gets their shot to say, this is the cause or organization that I want to get behind, and I think we should all get behind. And so then he goes on to say, at the end of the class chooses which one was not only effectively presented, but also is a ministry that they would like to support. Last semester, Jake H., and Jake, I just don't want to say your last name because I haven't asked you permission to do that, and I don't want you just being inundated by our 42 listeners finding you on Facebook. But last semester, Jake H. gave an excellent presentation of your work. I'm assuming that's Passion. So I'm sending this check at the request of his classmates. Sincerely, Dr. David Fetzer. And it was a $100 check. So Jake chooses as his cause Passion. And Jake apparently is a pretty persuasive little college student, because out of the class, he wins the day with his persuasion, and the cause wins the day, which I'm really, really excited about. And then the class kicks in their funds together, and sends the money to us. And so, Jake, I just want to say thank you to you. It's creative. It's kind of like the letter that we talked about with these girls from Texas. It's like a lot of other things folks have done just to say, you know what, I got to think outside the box here. I want to get behind what God's doing on the world tour. And that 900,000 is getting smaller and smaller because of little things like that that God is using to make it happen. And I just want to say thank you to all of you guys that are praying and giving. And we just want to invite you to continue to do that to help us touch the lives of students around the world. It's interesting too. I know some of you are going, of course God is going to provide, Louis, because everything Passion does, you know, it's easy. You know, you guys put out a thing and say, we're going to have an event in Timbuktu and, you know, all these people show up. Or you decide you're going to have a conference in the next 3 months on short notice and all these people come. Or you put out an album and all these accolades come. Or whatever you guys do, you know, have a $6 million goal. And, of course, you've already gotten over $5 million and something that anybody would be thrilled about is Passion. It's always easy. Everything happens great for you guys. And I just want to say today, in the spirit of asking you to pray for us, that's the perception of Passion, and the reality, Jonathan, is completely the opposite of that. Almost everything we do is a massive struggle, and almost everything we do, there's a point in it at some point where we say, are we on the right track? This is too hard. And that's part of the big announcement coming up at the end of the podcast. In the same way, you'll get to hear me talk about that again, but it's not easy. And there are many times in everything that we do that we're just sitting there at a dead end, and we wonder, do we stop here? Do we keep going? Do we try another route? And if that's your life, if that's your experience, and you're like, you know what, I have these ideas, I have vision, and I go for it, and it just doesn't ever all add up to exactly what I hoped it would, well, I just want to encourage you to remember a couple of things about us. I mean, we're 13 years old as a movement, for one thing. So we didn't just start and do our first event this year, and wow, look what happened. We worked really hard for a year and a half to do one event that we barely paid for and had 2,000 people show up for, and that was the whole story of 1.5 years' work and investment of time, and that was our beginning. And we have 13 years of history behind us and 10 years of history behind that of working with college students. So we're talking about a 23-year, you know, determination in this same direction. And that has a lot to do with some of the things that happen around here. Obviously, a whole bunch of it is the favor of God. But if you're struggling, if you're wondering, if it's hard where you are, I just want to remind you that it's hard where we are too. And I don't want to get into the details of it. But if I did, I could take the whole rest of the podcast and tell you about hits that our team is taking, that our families are taking, a tremendous amount of illness, cancer, surgeries, hardship, right in our families, our moms, our dads, our grandparents, our immediate family, our board members. And it's just been a constant for us over this last 9 months. And it doesn't seem to be slowing down. And it's always there, that challenge for us of going, you know what, when you're on the front lines and you're called to the things that matter, you have to embrace this idea that there's going to be opposition, that there's going to be pain and suffering. And some of that comes with choosing to follow Jesus. A whole bunch of it just comes with living on a broken planet. And we're sharing in that with all of you. And I just want to share a little bit of that in that same spirit. Everybody knows Fruitcake. If you don't know Fruitcake, I'd like for you to get to know her. Her real name is Krista, and she was dubbed Fruitcake by her friend and our friend Ashley at the University of Florida. And this talk, which we've been given in every World Tour city, it's going to become available hopefully a little bit later this fall as part of the Passion Talk series, Like Indescribable, How Great Is Our God, and Hope. It's going to be in that same series. It's going to be available, hopefully, Lord willing, at bookstores around the world and across America. And so everybody will be able to get their hands on this fruitcake and ice cream message where they can meet Krista and find out her story. But if you don't know the whole story, I don't want to give you the whole story here. But short version of it is Krista met a very unlikely candidate to be a follower of Jesus when she moved into her apartment for their last and final semester at the University of Florida a couple of Januaries ago. And Krista didn't know that her roommate dubbed her Fruitcake because of her faith in God and her love for God and the way that story of Ashley's life has played out. And now that we've shared some of Ashley's journal with the world, Fruitcake has become very popular and in places like Jakarta and Manila and Johannesburg, South Africa, and London, England. People are saying, I want to be a fruitcake for Christ. And so we're on the last leg of the tour. I think we were maybe just arriving possibly in Manila. And I got word through Facebook. I'd missed a couple of days, maybe a week or so of Facebook. And it's not really, I don't check it all that often to start with. And I'd gotten a message from Jeremy, who is Krista's husband. Amazing couple. And Jeremy, you know, comes off a little bit where a lot of us have been in life in Ashley's journal. But he actually had a big evolution with her. They became super great friends. And he and Krista have gotten married. And they were expecting. And they'd been on a mission project this summer in Mexico. And I got news through the Facebook that Krista had had some complications. They didn't know exactly what was going on. They'd come back to the States, gone to a hospital, and in the process of trying to actually potentially save Krista's life and investigate what was going on in the midst of the surgery, Krista delivered extremely prematurely her little baby. And the baby died in the process of that operation. And by the time that message got to me, we were on the world tour, and it came in this message from Krista, who now is in the hospital recovering after all of this. And she writes me this email, and I asked her for permission to share this. And she said I could share it on the blog, but she didn't say the podcast. So, Krista, I'm sorry it didn't make it on the blog, because I wasn't ready to write it, because I knew you guys were healing and still are. But I hope it's okay if I read it here. She just says, Louie, I'm sitting here in the hospital listening to the Passion podcast, and when Mighty to Save came from Jakarta. Now, Mighty to Save is a big, big song in Ashley's journal in this story. When Mighty to Save came from Jakarta, I'm holding up the little recorder in Jakarta, and she's hearing those kids sing, okay, that's what's going on. She said, I just started crying and worshiping with them. Thank you for taking the story of Christ around the world. Just hearing college students from around the world sing to God and wanting to make him famous just blows my mind. The messages I've received on Facebook have been so encouraging, especially this week. I've been praying for the world tour, and since I have not had much else to do, I've read every comment on the blog. Now, that's a formidable task, given the comments that were on the blog on the last leg. Thanks so much for serving God, and again, thanks so much for the change that was in me. I will never forget Passion 07 in Atlanta, and I know that the students that are attending the world tour in the cities around the world will never forget the night as well. For his fame, Krista. And then she says, P.S., I'm recovering, and I know that I am in the arms of God, as is my son, David Michael, which means beloved, who is like God. The doctors told us it was a boy. P.S., P.P.S., thanks for your prayers for Jeremy and I. And it's just, you know, I just was thinking all these people around the world are hearing about Krista, and they're saying, man, I want to be like Krista. How cool is that? Just to be a senior in college, and all of a sudden everybody knows who you are, and God's using your life in such a phenomenal way. And here we are in Manila and Jakarta and KL and Johannesburg and London and, you know, all these cities around the world, Kiev, and we're hearing the story of this girl. How cool is that? That Fruitcake is known around the world, and there I was sharing her story in the midst of this leg, and my heart was just breaking knowing that she and Jeremy were back in the hospital in California and had lost this precious little boy that they had loved the hope of having in their lives so much. And I wrote her back, and in part of the email I wrote her, I won't share it all, it's kind of personal, but I just said, you're amazing. I know you and Jeremy are heartbroken, and on top of that, you've been through a really bad surgery. But I also know that God's hand is on your life, as if he has chosen you for these days to be a light for the nations. I'm so glad you're recovering well. I've been thinking so much about you and Jeremy, and wondering how it is that while thousands of people all around the world are being encouraged through God in you, that you'd be going through such difficult waters yourself. Precious little David Michael is with God. And as the psalm says, God will fulfill his purpose for his life. Like Ashley's, his life was not cut short, but will be full and meaningful as God will use him to glorify his name and thus join in the echo of heaven for God's fame. I know you would take him back in a heartbeat, but he was made by and for God, and he's experiencing the fullness of both of those realities now. It's pretty weird to think that Ashley is in heaven with Jesus, but to think that Fruitcake's little boy is with her is almost too much to process. I'm excited about the day when we will all be there and the separation is gone forever. Until then, I know he will heal your wounds and wipe your tears away. He loves you and Jeremy so much. And she wrote back and said, I really am not amazing at all. I'm still a shy, quiet girl that God has chosen to use in ways that boggle my mind. It's a crazy thought how God puts things in sequence. I would never have become so close to Anna, that's Ashley's mom, had Ashley not died. Before, she was just my roommate's mom, and now she is my friend. She's the only person I know who's lost a child. She knows my pain 1 million times over. He really does know what he's doing, though I do not understand it all. I, too, look forward to the day when the separation is over and my dear friend who is watching over little David Michael until I get there hands him to me. Now, that's just a powerful line. I really am blessed to have a husband who loves God so much and loves me just as much. Jeremy is so strong and has allowed me to grieve in his arms as we lean on our Father's arms together. We have an amazing support system that God has provided from friends all around the world, many of whom we have never or will never ever meet here on earth. Then she goes on to say a few other things and says, grieving, but for his fame and glory, Krista. And I just wanted to share that with you guys, so that you'll pray for her. I know a lot of people have heard about her, but just in this moment that you just pray for the continued restoration of their emotions, of their well-being spiritually and physically for Krista as she recovers. And just to know that if you're one of those people and you're like, you know, it never works out for me like Fruitcake's story, or it never works out for me like Passion. Well, you know, it doesn't always work out for Passion either, and it doesn't always work out for Krista either. In fact, it rarely always works out. In fact, I would venture to say it never always works out for anyone. The goal in life is not that it always works out the way that we hope or plan. That's not an option in a fallen and a broken world. The goal in life is that we will remember that God loves us, and that in spite of anything and everything that comes our way, that our eyes would be fixed on the one who gave himself for us, and that in that we would find hope and an anchor for our lives, and we would be able to broadcast through our pain to the world. There's something greater than loss, tragedy, heartache, and brokenness, and it is a God who holds us in his hands and never lets go of us. And so we're going to go to break with Matt Redmond's You Never Let Go. We were singing this in Cape Town as Krista and Jeremy and I were exchanging these emails, and I just couldn't help but stand behind the stage in Cape Town while Matt was singing and leading 6,000 people in this song, and I just was lifting my hands up for Krista and Jeremy and praying it over their lives and praying for them and with them and believing God for and with them. And it is a classic anthem of the hope that we have in God, and it's very likely that we're going to let go of him somewhere along the way, but he's never going to take his hands off of us.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I will feel
We're back on the Passion Podcast, and before we get away today, by the way, thanks so much for being with us. It's really good to be back. I got an email actually about 30 minutes ago. It came through. I saw it in one of the Passion accounts from someone saying, my iPhone needs a new Passion Podcast, and so here we come, and I'm glad that we've got a chance to be back together. And before we give the big news, Jonathan, we talked about earlier that we had an answer to the big question and some big news coming at the end of the podcast. But before that, on a serious note, most of you know, and I'm guessing everyone listening to this in America is plugged into this, and if not, you're somewhere else in the world. It's hurricane season all over the world, but especially here in the south of the United States, and we've had a couple of them. Gustav came through and did some significant damage a few weekends ago, and now Ike has made pretty much a direct hit on Galveston, Texas, and huge impact in places like Baytown, Pasadena, Clear Lake, Kima, and the whole seaboard, really, of the Galveston area and over into Louisiana as well. And I just want to say to you guys, if by some chance the power's back on by now and you've been able to get on a computer and download a podcast, that means a couple of days have passed. We've got a lot of friends and a lot of family in Houston, and we've been talking to them over the course of the last 24 hours, and I think it's going to be a while before a lot of people have power back on and a lot of folks are able to return to see what's left of their homes, if anything. And it's a massive devastation, and it's kind of weird because here in Alpharetta, you look around and all everyone cares about is the fact that all the gas stations are out of gas because we had a big run on gas right before the hurricane came. And, you know, that's thousands of miles away in Houston from here. And a lot of people, you know, it's just like another news story. But I just want you guys to know that we are with you and in our hearts, and we want to do something to help. You can visit 268blog.com and look for a couple of ways that you can give financially if you're not able in, at this moment, to pull out of what you're doing and actually go and help and serve in some capacity in the rebuilding, restoration, cleanup efforts going on all over Texas. But if you'd like to just give, a simple way you can do it is by texting, and you can text the word GIVE to HELP. And that's 24357. That felt slightly like Ryan Seacrest, but just not quite as cool, smooth, or polished. But it's texting the word GIVE to the numbers 24357, which spells out to HELP. And this money is it goes through a partnership through your wireless carrier and the American Red Cross. And when you do this, you can give a $5 donation that will be deducted directly from your phone bill or your prepaid balance, whichever you have. And that's for most carriers. If you're Alltel, AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, or Verizon, you can do that. And I think you can do it up to four times. So you can give up to $20, $5 each time. And so let's just jump in. And somebody's going, whoa, that's good. I can give $5, but that's not very much. And that's not going to help somebody put their lives back together. And so you can go to 268blog.com. You can go directly to the Red Cross site or to some of the other sites that we're going to mention there and give as much as you want. And money is a big help in a moment like this. And if you know other organizations, I just want to encourage us to be generous, to do something other than just see a news item in the paper today or something else on CNN. And thank goodness it wasn't as catastrophic even as it could have been, which is pretty amazing. You know, I was listening to Geraldo, and he was saying that it was going to be the end of civilization, and it didn't turn out quite to be that, but it did turn out to be something really, really devastating. You can get more information, by the way, if you just want to really dig down into this and you really care, at a website called hisg.net. And that's the Humanitarian International Services Group. And there's a lot of information on the storm, on who's helping, and a lot of local organizations that are plugging in to do evacuation, give shelter, and all kind of relief work is listed on this site. So if you want to dig in, visit that site as well. But everybody listening, 1millioncan.com came by earlier. I want you to be a part of that. But there's no reason why every single person that's listening to the podcast today can't text GIVE to this number 24357. And something can happen immediately to let these people know that we're with them, praying for them, and we want to help them as God puts their lives back together again. So before we get away, the big question, Jonathan, and I'm not kidding you when I say we've gotten five emails already today, and that's on top of the ones from yesterday and last week and the week before and the week before. And I understand school is back in session. Everybody wants to know, when is Passion 09? You guys said when you went away on this great world adventure that we're cheering you on for, that you were going to come back, and in America we were going to have some kind of landing event. I I think, as Louis called it, where we would have an event back in the United States to gather all of us together. And so what's the date? Are you coming back to the regionals? How's it going to work? We need plans. We're getting our whole school calendar together. What's going on? And here's the story. There is not going to be a U.S. Passion regional event in 2009. That's not because we didn't try, by the way. We really wanted to do something in the spring, and we looked at certain dates and cities and venues, and we just couldn't pull it off. And a lot of that has to do with the church that's launching. Tomlin's on a massive tour. We've got a lot of other commitments, and so it wasn't as if we just had a big blank board and all kind of opportunity. We had a few windows of time. We really wanted to see something happen, and the doors just opened and closed or never opened and just stayed closed. And so we finally had to just move on from that idea. And so the new plan is to cheer you guys on in the school year. Hopefully we will be going back to visit some of the World Tour cities in the spring, late spring of 2009. So we're very excited about that, and we'll be releasing more details about when that's going to happen and where those cities are going to be. So please don't email. Please don't suggest. We got a game plan. We're praying, and we're working on it right now. And we feel like God's leading us to some great conclusions there. But for the United States and all of you guys in the rest of the world as well, it looks like we're going to be back doing a four-day event, just like the one we did in Passion 05, 06, and 07. And I can't say exactly where right now because the details are being finalized actually while we're on the podcast right now. But just plan on that little window of time from January 1st through January 5th, somewhere in that window. It could be the first, second, not sure. 4 days, somewhere probably close to where we're sitting right now, but I'm not 100% sure, and I can't say that. So just mark it down. And I know that means no fall, no spring, no regionals, no going back to LA, Boston. And man, we wanted to get back to all of you guys. Trust me. Just trust me on that. But this next year is going to be about getting back to a few world cities, and then hopefully in about 12 13, 14 and a half months from right now, which isn't very long, actually. We'll be back together for 4 days, and all I can say about that is I'd watch for details. I imagine, knowing us, that we're going to tell you they're going to be, you know, coming soon, and that means they're going to come in, you know, I don't know, not very soon, but as soon as they're there, I would jump on board because I think this thing's going to sell out fast back here at Passion 2010. So it's going to be a crazy time. It's going to be exciting. Hopefully God will just breathe on whatever you guys are doing this school year. We're praying for you. We're excited about what God's going to do. And we'll be back with you soon on the Passion Podcast. I feel like we got a lot in for our welcome back kind of reconnection podcast. So check out 1millioncan.com. Hello Love is in stores everywhere right now. Let's pray for Galveston and all of Houston and the coastal areas all the way through to Louisiana, and let's do something and engage in that process right now. Let's pray for Fruitcake and Jeremy and what they're walking through in their lives, and please continue to pray for us and know that we're praying for you guys. We'll be back soon on the Passion Podcast. Take care.